This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello, this is Mary Beth Gianni bringing you the May issue of National Geographic Kids. It is a special coral reef issue with secrets of the octopus and other coral reef critters. But starting as always with weird but true facts, which can be about anything. First, did you know wolves can get the hiccups? And bonobos blow raspberries for attention. The entire land area of the contiguous United States could fit in the Sahara Desert. Your body's smell or odor print is as unique as your fingerprints. Tomatoes can be purple. And finally, giant squid have donut-shaped brains. Next is our creature feature, meet the star-nosed mole, with several facts about the mole. They are extremely nosy. Their nostrils are surrounded by a star of 22 fleshy tentacles. They use these extra fingers to sense prey in the dirt. Bubbling up. While underwater, star-nosed moles can blow a bubble out of each nostril, hold them with their tentacles, and then inhale them. This helps the mole smell prey like worms and fish underwater. I don't need 'em. Star-nosed moles have small, weak eyes, but they don't use their peepers much. They live mostly underground in near-total darkness. Dig it. Shovel-shaped front limbs and claws help these moles tunnel through dirt and paddle in water. These moles live in the eastern United States and southeastern parts of Canada. Next, we have the Guinness World Records, starting with a super stinger. This ant is a pain in the neck, or whichever body part it stings. Native to Central and South America, the bullet ant has the world's most painful sting. Bug scientist Justin Schmidt allowed 83 different insect species to sting him, and the bullet ant ranked first. The ant's sting isn't deadly, but Schmidt compares the pain to walking over flaming coals with a 3-inch nail in your heel. Yikes! Next is Say Cheese. These bakers really shredded the competition. To break the record for the most varieties of cheese on a pizza, French chefs piled a whopping 1,001 types of cheese onto one pie. Each cheese type had to weigh at least 2 grams, which meant the pizza was topped with nearly 4.5 pounds of melty goodness. And finally, so big. Betsy Bond definitely made a point with her art project. She crafted the world's largest knitting needles. Made with 15-foot-long plastic tubes, the needles had 3D-printed points and knobs on the ends. To break the record, Bond had to knit at least 10 stitches and 10 rows. We're guessing she had a giant ball doing it. Bet you didn't know. 6 sparkly star facts. Number 1. Counting the estimated 100 billion stars in our galaxy would take about 9,510 years. Number 2. Starquakes are movements on a star's surface that can make it swell and shrink. 3. the hottest stars can reach some 300,000 degrees Fahrenheit. 4. In one legend from the Lummi, a Native American tribe, Coyote juggled his eyeballs so high that one became a star. 5. On Earth, a teaspoon of an aging star, called a white dwarf, would weigh as much as an elephant. And 6. A car driving at highway speeds would take more than 41 million years to reach Proxima Centauri, Earth's second closest star after the Sun. Now an amazing animal. This month it is a spotless giraffe at the Brights Zoo in Limestone, Tennessee. And I guess the Okanjati Game Reserve in Namibia. Something is different about these two giraffes. Instead of a patterned coat covered in patches, the fur of these youngsters is solid brown. Scientists don't know the exact cause of the coloration, but they know it's rare. A spotless giraffe hasn't been seen since 1972. That makes these two calves, one born in a U.S. zoo and the other seen in the wild in Africa just a few weeks later, even more special. Although scientists think spots might help giraffes camouflage or control their body temperature, the two calves seem to be doing fine. And it turns out they likely aren't truly spotless. The brown coating is actually just one giant spot. Biologist Derek Lee is calling them one spot all over giraffes. Our next amazing animal is a comeback critter, wildlife between North and South Korea, in the demilitarized zone of Korea. A young, endangered Asiatic black bear, also known as a moon bear, sets off a camera trap as it walks along a stream. 70 years ago, this land was part of a war zone. The war damaged the habitat and scared off many animals. But scientists have good news. In recent years, they've counted a whopping 6,168 animals and plant species living in the area. This region includes what is called the Demilitarized Zone, or DMZ. It's a 2.5 mile wide, 150 mile long area that separates North and South Korea. In 1953, these two countries signed an agreement to stop actively fighting, but the DMZ remains mostly off limits to humans, allowing wildlife to thrive. The area has animals that are rarely found elsewhere on the Korean Peninsula, environmental historian Lisa Brady says. Scientists hope that this area can become officially protected, keeping the special wildlife here safe. And our last amazing animal is a parrot who does video chat. This is in the United States, but it doesn't get somewhere in the United States. Bleep bloop, bird calling. Scientists know that pet parrots often develop behavior problems if they don't interact with other parrots. So these researchers wanted to find out if the birds might like to video chat each other. Caretakers taught 15 pet parrots to start a video call by ringing a bell, then touching their beaks to a picture of another parrot. Once they learned the process, the birds called each other 147 times during the study. Some sang to each other or showed off their toys. One bird would often say, "Hi, come here, hello," at the start of a call. The social birds appeared to enjoy the FaceTime. Some caretakers even said their parrot became more confident in being a bird, researcher Rebecca Kleinberger says. We hope the calls keep coming. Our next story is called Undersea City. And this is starting the special coral reef section of this issue. Meet the animals working in colorful coral reefs. A coral reef might seem like a calm and quiet place to live, but the creatures that reside there are constantly in work mode. They're building, cleaning, protecting, and gardening the coral reef they call home. Nicknamed rainforests of the sea, coral reefs are also like undersea cities, with reef residents working together to help their community thrive. Each role is important for keeping the coral reef ecosystem healthy, marine biologist Kehoe Kim says. Meet the animals in this underwater metropolis that get the job done. The first animals are clownfish and sea anemones, and the job is security guards. A clownfish hovers inside the tentacles of a creature called a sea anemone. Unbothered by the stinging tentacles, the fish eats parasites off the anemone and protects it from predators like butterfly fish. Like security guards protecting a building, clownfish and anemones are protecting the coral reef ecosystem. Because clownfish guard the anemones, the stinging anemones can help protect the reef from too many sea urchins. An overpopulation of sea urchins can scrape away coral and wear down the reef's skeleton. The next animals are parrotfish, and their job is cleaner. A parrotfish scrapes yummy algae off the surface of a coral skeleton with its teeth, biting off pieces of old coral as it works. The fish is getting a gritty meal, but it's also helping keep the reef clean. Healthy coral rely on algae to make food for them, but too much algae can smother the reef. So, like a dentist scraping harmful plaque off your teeth, the parrotfish scrapes extra algae off the coral. The parrotfish is also clearing away old, weak pieces of coral to make room for new polyps to grow. According to research, reefs that have more parrotfish are usually healthier than reefs with fewer parrotfish. And the next animals are coral polyps, and their job is builder. A tiny, squishy-looking creature wiggles atop the hard surface of a coral reef. The animal, a coral polyp, isn't just hanging out. It's building the reef it's attached to. The polyp, which is usually no bigger than a pencil tip, has a mostly soft body except for the limestone skeleton on its underside. The polyp divides, creating new polyps. As one polyp dies, another one grows on top of its skeleton, adding more limestone growing upward. Some reef-building corals can also reproduce by releasing eggs. Layer by layer, hundreds of thousands of polyps of the same species grow into colonies that can be hundreds of years old and as big as a car. The live polyps are only on the top layer. The rest of the reef is made up of limestone skeletons. Thousands of coral colonies eventually form a reef, which can take up to 10,000 years to form. Reefs keep growing until they're damaged because of events like storms and heat waves. These polyps are like masons or construction workers who build with stone, marine biologist Howard Lasker says. But they're slow builders. Many coral colonies typically grow only a fraction of an inch in a year. Over time, a reef can extend 1,000 miles. Our next animals, there's two, sea turtles and dugongs, and their job is gardener. A hungry green sea turtle prunes the seagrass growing around a coral reef while a dugong mows the tasty plant. Animals like these are the gardeners of the reef system. Just like your lawn, seagrass needs to be cut so it doesn't overgrow the reef. Sea turtles, dugongs, and other animals trim the seagrass by eating it. And like any good gardener, sea turtles and dugongs also spread nourishing fertilizer, aka poop. The clean, clear waters that coral reefs are primarily found in are low in nutrients, Kim says. Thanks to these gardeners' bathroom breaks, the reef gets plenty of the nutrients it needs. And our last animal is the reef shark, and their job is the police officer. A hungry reef shark casts a dark shadow above a coral city, sending reef residents scrambling for shelter. Without this police officer making sure sea creatures don't break the laws of the reef, those critters might behave badly. For instance, if reef sharks didn't police large fish like grouper, and by police we mean eat, all those fish might gobble too many smaller creatures like parrotfish. And that could mean algae, which parrotfish eat, would completely take over the reef. Without reef sharks to scare them away, sea turtles and dugongs might completely stuff themselves with seagrass. That could destroy much of the habitat, which young fish hide in as they learn how to survive. Every ecosystem needs a balance of predators and prey to make sure there are enough resources for everyone, Kim says. Reef sharks bring that balance. And our next article is called More City Life. Dive into Komodo National Park in Indonesia to see other coral reef co-workers. Starting with number one, hungry sun coral. Algae that live inside coral tissue provide food for many species of coral. But that's not all these animals eat. Corals like this sun coral are predators. They wave their tentacles to nab any zooplankton, teeny tiny animals, that swim too close. And number two, a fish house. For fish like anthias, coral reefs provide shelter from predators, a safe place for their babies, and a buffet of food. In return, these fish eat coral-smothering seaweed. Number three, coral eaters. Many reef creatures, like sunburst butterfly fish, sea stars, sea urchins, and crustaceans, feast on coral polyps. Called coralivores, some of these predators might help coral reefs by pooping out healthy coral bacteria over new areas. And number four, feathery friends. Feather stars look like plants, but these animals can crawl, roll, and even swim to a new location. Long, sticky arms, up to 150 of them, trap zooplankton floating in the water. Then the feather star's poop feeds shrimp, crabs, and snails. Number five, rock star. Starfish, like the peppermint sea star, feed on small animals and sponges, as well as tiny pieces of fish scales and dead stuff that falls to the bottom of the reef. And lastly, number six is stay spongy. Many sponge species, like the encrusting sponges, feed by sucking in water, then filtering tiny pieces of plants and animals. They can also absorb elements like carbon and phosphorus from the water. Then the sponges expel it out, creating nutrient-filled food for snails and fish. Next, we have 10 cool things about coral reefs. These are just very short facts. Number one, some coral glow to help algae produce nutrients. Number two, people have turned ice cream trucks and subway cars into artificial reefs. Number three, corals can sting each other to compete for space on the reef. Number four, a coral's tree-like growth rings can show a reef's age, just like a tree. Number five, surgeons can use coral to help repair broken bones. Six, many reef-building corals release eggs just once a year, in the summer after a full moon. Number seven, corals are related to jellyfish. Number eight, coral skeletons, eggshells, chalk, and pearls are all made from calcium carbonate. Number nine, bubblegum coral gets its name from the tiny pink polyps that live on its skeleton. And finally, number 10, some coral reefs living today began forming 50 million years ago. Our next story is a little longer. It's called Secrets of the Octopus. One explorer shares what these ocean creatures are really like beneath the surface. And this is by explorer Alex Schnell. As a kid, exploring the beaches of Sydney, Australia, I loved plunging my hands into rock pools along the shore. But one morning I felt something sticky. And it wasn't sand. I yanked my hand out of the water. Then a single eye peered up, staring right at me. It was an octopus. It stretched out one of its eight wriggling reddish arms and touched my finger so I could feel its little suckers. Now that I'm a marine biologist, I know the octopus must have been tingling all over with strange new senses. Octopuses touch, taste, and smell with their suckers. It's like having a fingertip, a tongue, and a nostril all in one place. I also now know that only trained adults should touch wild animals. This wasn't the last incredible octopus encounter I had, and each one taught me something amazing about these smart, shy creatures. Here are some of the ways octopuses have shown me their secret lives. Underwater connection. I'm always surprised that even though octopuses are extremely shy and like to hide, it's almost as if once they get to know you, they're ready to be BFFs. Once, during a dive at a coral reef near Lizard Island, off the northeastern coast of Australia, a female day octopus peeked out from her rocky den. She seems more curious and warm than scared or aggressive. I sense she's just checking me out. After 45 minutes, the octopus swims away. Then she turns her head and looks at me as if to ask, "Aren't you coming?" It's an invitation I can't ignore, so I join her. Before she heads back to her den, she reaches out and touches me with some of her suckers as if to say goodbye. Then she zooms away. On a later dive, I see the same octopus. I wonder if she remembers me. Octopuses use their suckers to recognize each other. So when she touches me with hers, it's like she's saying, "Oh yeah, I do remember you." Octopus on camera. Octopuses would usually rather escape danger than face it, but one little creature showed me that's not always true. I was with a crew filming coconut octopuses in Lemba Strait, Indonesia. One of these tennis ball-sized creatures is about a foot away from us, and we're trying not to scare off the animal. But the looks on the crew's faces tell me that something surprising has happened behind me. I turn around and see another coconut octopus charging toward our camera. He jumps on the equipment and crawls all over the lens. I've never seen an octopus be so bold, especially such a tiny little thing. But it calms down after it examines our equipment. I think it just needed a minute to realize our unfamiliar gadgets were not a threat, and it soon swims away. Flushed away. Octopuses can twist and squeeze their boneless bodies through holes the size of a quarter. But I've never seen an octopus hang out in a place like this before. One night, I had dived off a pier into Port Phillip Bay on the southeastern coast of Australia. I was hoping to see an octopus mid-hunt. Usually, it takes a while to spot an octopus, but this time I immediately see five species hanging out together: a blue-ringed octopus, a sand octopus, a southern keeled octopus, a pale octopus, and a Maori octopus. These species are all different sizes, and bigger octopuses usually eat smaller ones. So it's unusual that they're hanging out together under the pier. They aren't socializing like animals such as chimpanzees would, but they're at least tolerating each other. But the pier isn't the weirdest hangout spot. This bay is unfortunately a spot where people dump trash, and one item on the sea floor is a toilet. As I'm staring at it, a spotted arm snakes its way out of the toilet's back pipe. Apparently, a pale octopus had been living inside the toilet. More secrets. Some 300 species of octopuses swim in Earth's oceans. Here are some surprising facts about a few of them. Starting with the greater blue-ringed octopus, its venom could kill 26 adults in a few minutes. The Wonderpus octopus, which has spots on its head that are unique to each individual. The Dumbo octopus, which lives deeper than any other octopus species. The coconut octopus uses coconut shells for protection underwater. The bioluminescent octopus, which has organs that can be seen through its translucent skin. Similarly, the ghost octopus, its paleness might be caused by a lack of color in its food. And finally, the giant Pacific octopus, which grows bigger than any other octopus species. Next is how octopuses like a common octopus use their bodies to be undersea superstars. Muscles. Octopuses don't have bones, but are 90% muscle. Humans are only about 40% muscle. Arms. An octopus sends messages from its brain to other parts of the body through cells called neurons. Most neurons are in an octopus's arms. Each arm can taste, feel, and move on its own. Suckers. These help the octopus pick up prey and cling to surfaces. Some octopuses have about 2,000 suckers. And last one, ink. When threatened, octopuses eject ink that can mess with a predator's sight, taste, and smell. That distracts it so the octopus can escape. And I think that's all we have time for today. Thank you again for joining me. This has been the May issue of National Geographic Kids, and I'm Mary Beth Gianni. Thanks, and have a great day.